Hello everyone, so my name is Jason and I'm here to present our work on performance debugging of computation skew in data flow systems. This is a joint work done at UCLA with my collaborators Muhammad Ali Gulzar, Professor Harry Hsu, and my advisor Miryoung Kim. Now to get started, let's take a look at an example. Suppose we have a web server that's generating server logs on a daily basis and we want to analyze these, so we run an anomaly detection job and we run this job on the first day's worth of data and we find it takes about 28 seconds. That seems okay, so we let the job continue to run. On the second day, we find the same job runs for about 25 seconds, and things are looking good, so we're pretty optimistic about it. But then on the third day, we get another 20 gigabytes worth of data, and we find that our job time skyrockets over 3 times to an execution time of 92 seconds. Now, the obvious question is, why is this happening? And as developers, we have many tools to go about looking into this. We might look at the system health or, you know, the Spark cluster health. We might just try resubmitting the job. Let's suppose that we went through all these and we couldn't find any particular reason for why this particular job might be running slower. So that begs the question, what is it about day three or day three's data that is causing performance problems? Now, for those of you familiar with performance problems related to data, you may be thinking of a problem known as data skew, which is an uneven distribution of data across partitions, tasks, or workers, which inherently leads to uneven computation times. Today we'll be looking at a similar problem to data skew, which we define as computation skew. Computation skew differs from data skew because it's an uneven distribution of computation rather than data, and inherently it's due to interactions between the data and the way the application or the user program is defined. In this particular example, we have a user-defined function that essentially acts as a cache lookup. So when you have a cache hit, the latencies are very quick. However, if you have cache miss, then all of a sudden we see significantly slower record computation times. Now, computation skew is challenging for a variety of reasons. By its very definition, it requires insight on how application code interacts with data. As a result, it requires white box solutions with respect to the user program. Furthermore, because application code is not explicitly defined in terms of, you know, the computation system that it runs on, we need to analyze an end-to-end solution for multiple stages. Because this is a performance debugging problem, the applications we're looking at are inherently expensive to run, and as a result, we need to be careful about how much overhead we use in our debugging approaches. We can't exactly just, you know, brute force rerun these applications over and over again. And finally, many of the existing tools actually look at aggregate or coarse-grained levels of records when debugging performance. However, a challenge such as computation skew requires us to look at individual records and how those individual records operate with respect to the code. To solve these challenges, we implemented PerfDebug, which is a post-mortem performance debugging tool for computation skew. As input, PerfDebug takes a Spark program, which is generally some sort of user program, combined with the input data that is fed to that program. And it produces a set of individual records that it deems responsible for computation skew. Now, these could be output records or input records. PerfDebug is broken down into three rough phases, which I'll be going into one by one. The first of these phases is computation skew detection. And of course, before you can really go into debugging any sort of performance problem, we need to identify that it is present or at least potentially present. To do so, PerfDebug implements a Spark Listener API, or rather, it uses a Spark Listener API that monitors task-level metrics such as latency, garbage collection, and serialization. In doing so, if it detects any sort of potential computation skew, it proceeds to the next phases of collecting additional information for debugging. In this particular example of a modified Spark Web UI screenshot, we have the task highlighted in red that has significantly longer duration compared to the remaining tasks, even though its input size is still about the same. Moving on to the next step, we need to collect information on how to debug computation skew. And PerfDebug takes an approach that combines data provenance techniques with record-level latency instrumentation. For capturing data provenance, PerfDebug extends an existing tool called Titian, which implements data provenance using provenance tables on Apache Spark. This looks something like this, where we have essentially for every input and output record for every stage, there's some sort of unique identifier. And using these provenance tables, we can actually map the inputs and outputs of programs across the entire application. So as an example, if we take a look at the first output record, output one, we can back join all of these records across the individual provenance tables to identify the inputs for this particular output record. Now, this is a very useful technique in general debugging. However, we are looking at performance debugging, and data provenance as a technique does not incorporate anything about performance. In order to kind of combine or adapt this approach into a performance debugging technique, we additionally measure a few different performance metrics. The first of these is measuring UDF latency. Now, to measure UDF latency, we instrument the UDFs that are passed into a Spark program at a record level. So for every UDF call and every record, we measure how long it takes to execute that particular function. As an example, for this first output record, we may imagine that the first map UDF takes 7 milliseconds, and the second reduced by key UDF takes 3 milliseconds. As a result, we would kind of combine these to compute a single UDF latency for the produced output record, and we would imagine that to be 10 milliseconds in this case. And once again, this is done for every single record that is produced in each stage. In addition to UDF latencies, there's also another important performance factor in Spark applications, which is the cost of data movement. So we look at shuffle latencies, and for perfdebug, we happen to capture partition-level shuffle latencies. These are stored off on a separate table, which we eventually combine with UDF latencies in what we define as a stage latency. Now, stage latency is intuitively the computation time for each record within its given stage. We combine these two, UDF latencies and shuffle latencies, by adding them together, and because shuffle latency is captured at a coarse-grained or partition level, we distribute this across the records in a given stage, or rather, in a given partition. So as an example, for the first stage, since there is no shuffle latency, the stage latency is equivalent to UDF latency. And for the second stage, we may have something that looks like this, where we've added the UDF latency to some fraction of the shuffle latency. The end result is that we have some sort of computed stage latency for every record, again, within every stage. Using these, we can now move on to the final task of identifying expensive input or output records. But first, let's take a look at why stage latencies by themselves are insufficient. If you recall some of the challenges that came with computation skew, one of the key pieces was that code and data interact across multiple stages. However, stage latency is computed only within a given stage. For a brief example, let's imagine we had these following stage latencies. Now, if you were to take a naive approach and look at only the slowest stage latencies within a given stage, we may be looking at these two particular records. However, if you look closer at the individual stage latencies and how data moves throughout the application, we may find that there's actually another output record that has an overall larger impact on application performance. In particular, it happens to have slower kind of latency path throughout the application. To model this, perfdebug actually takes a new definition of end-to-end latency, which is more or less the latency to compute a record from its program inputs. So this inherently incorporates data provenance as well as the record-level latency instrumentation that we had earlier. And the way this is computed is at a stage-by-stage process. So if you imagine, for example, that we have stage K with some pre-computed end-to-end latencies, stage K plus 1 can be computed by adding the stage latency of a given record to the slowest end-to-end latency of the previous record. So this is what it would look like for one record. And if we were to continue doing so, we would have these numbers for the remaining examples. And at the end, we would have, for stage K plus 1, a new column of end-to-end latencies. If we had additional stages, we could continue kind of propagating these latencies forwards. At the end of this propagation, we have output records that also have some sort of estimate for how long it has taken to compute each output record from the very beginning of the program. This provides some insights to developers, but occasionally they may need additional information, such as what are the inputs for these output records, especially the ones that happen to be the slowest or most expensive. In this case, developers can use the existing data provenance technique of, you know, backtracing or input tracing. And this is what it might look like for the first output one record. In practice, we found that data provenance itself is actually not a fully complete solution, though. In some of our experiences, we found that some of the inputs can contribute unequally to application performance. However, as mentioned earlier, data provenance is strictly just looking at how inputs and outputs map together. It doesn't incorporate any performance information. Thus, we decided to extend our end-to-end latency algorithm by propagating some sort of unique program input tag. If we imagine that we have this first stage, the expensive inputs for the first stage are simply just, you know, the inputs to that stage. There's nothing, it's sort of a trivial calculation. For the second stage onwards, we look at the end-to-end latency algorithm, and when computing the end-to-end latency, we also look at the slowest input from the previous stage. For the first record, since input 5 was the slowest input, we happen to copy over the corresponding expensive input field, and we do so for all of the records across all the stages. At the very end of this process, you can imagine that developers have not only the output records and their kind of expected computation times, but also the corresponding bottlenecks or input records that resulted in that particular performance. So to recap our overall approach, there were three phases, which were computation skew detection, some sort of instrumentation to collect data provenance and record level latency information, and a propagation algorithm to analyze these stage latencies and expand it to a full end-to-end analysis. Additionally, the program input, again, is a Spark program input data, and the output is these individual records that could be responsible for computation skew. Moving on to our evaluation, we looked at three primary research questions, and we'll start with the first one, which is, what is the impact of applying appropriate remediations? Now, for those of you that aren't quite familiar with the term, we're essentially trying to ask, what are the potential benefits that users can gain from using PerfDebug? And to do so, we operated on a series of three case studies with varying computation skew causes. And during the course of our case studies, we identified performance fixes that, when applied, actually improved performance from 1.5x to 16x. For the sake of time, I will not be going through all three case studies, but I will go through one of them, and the remaining two can be found in the paper. For the first case study that we'll look at, we have a program that operates on a data set of New York City taxi trips. And in particular, this data set of 27 gigabytes, 173 million rows, wants to compute the average cost of a taxi ride for each starting borough or neighborhood. For the purposes of this application, that really operates as a key. So if we take a look at the way the program is designed, we'll see that the first stage consists of parsing the taxi trip information into a borough and cost tuple, and shuffling the data so that it's grouped by key, after which we can calculate an average cost by borough. Now, looking at this particular diagram, you may notice that there could be some sort of data skew going on. In particular, in that bottom right task, we'll see that there's many more records than the top right task. However, when we actually ran this application, we were surprised to find that the second stage is significantly shorter than the first stage. Our total runtime was 7 minutes, but the second stage took about 20 seconds, whereas the first stage took the vast majority of application time. So when we took a look at this a little closer, we realized, maybe data skew is not the major performance factor within this application. And in fact, since we were running PerfDebug, PerfDebug actually highlighted the first stage and these drastically different task times within the first stage as a potential source of computation skew. We let PerfDebug continue to run, and it automatically computed output latencies for every record. And over here, we visualize that as the output latency heat map. And looking closer at this output latency heat map, we identify that there's one particular output record which seems to have unusually high latency, this red borough over here. We used PerfDebug to further investigate and identify what are the inputs for this particular output. And we identified at the end of the day that there were approximately 1,000 records that belonged to this borough. This ended up being a very small fraction of the total data set. And we were able to just kind of take these inputs and manually inspect them with the application code. In doing so, we found that there was a get borough UDF, which was poorly implemented, and ended up being very expensive for this particular set of inputs. Since this was such a small subset of the data, we ultimately defined that, it was probably easier to just simply remove this from the output. So we removed these input records, these 1,000 records, out of, 173 million, and we found that the stage time for the first stage ended up dropping from minutes to seconds, and that the overall application performance improved by 16x. Moving on to our other research questions, the second research question we looked at was instrumentation overhead. And in particular, just for some background, Titian happens to add 30% runtime overhead compared to Spark. PerfDebug is an extension of Titian. Now, PerfDebug adds an additional 30% runtime overhead compared to Titian, but this is fundamentally due to differences in functionality that is provided by the two systems. Titian was built as an interactive debugging tool for data provenance, and it only retains the data provenance information for the current session in which the users run an application. That means that if a user wants to use Titian, they have to run their application and stay at the computer and actually use the data provenance techniques. On the other hand, PerfDebug is designed as a postmortem tool, which means a user could run an application with PerfDebug and then come back later to actually conduct analysis on it. And as a result, we had to use a persistent storage mechanism, which ended up adding 30% runtime overhead compared to Titian. For our final research question, we looked at the accuracy of perf debug. And in particular, we took a look at the precision and recall using a software engineering technique known as mutation testing, in which you randomly choose an input record and inject it with a delay, in this case, a performance delay. Perf debug, in our experiences across all 30 trials, was able to consistently identify the target record. But more importantly, if you compare that to a data provenance technique that doesn't incorporate performance, we found that perf debug was able to improve precision by orders of magnitude. So that concludes the evaluation and also the presentation. So just conclude what we've covered today. Perf debug is a post-mortem performance debugging tool that combines data provenance techniques with record-level latency instrumentation to precisely pinpoint records which cause computation skew or skew due to interactions between the code and data. And in our evaluations, we found that case-specific fixes can yield a variety of performance improvements up to 16x. I'd be happy to take any questions now.
All right, we'll take a couple questions.
Hi, I'm Lana from UCLA. So I had a question. In your example, you were talking about a UDF where the cause of the extreme latency was that it was a cache miss, right? Yes. So this is diagnosing which records are the cause of a specific, you know, like slowdown or performance bottleneck, but it's not really telling you why, because there's a lot of other information from the system that you need. So for instance, you would need to reproduce the state of the cache at that time in order to diagnose that, you know, like the problem here is like cache latency. So have you considered any future work where you're looking into like external environment factors and other parts of state that you would need to capture the answer of why and, you know, like what would be the best fix?
So that's a great question. I think in general, perf debug is implemented in a way that is meant to give developers insight onto how to debug their application further. So in the case of, you know, a cache state, that obviously is not something that perf debug is built to capture at the moment, but that could certainly be something for future work in which we, maybe we would capture additional system state.
Other questions? So in some of your results, you had 100% precision, which seems particularly high. Do you think that what sort of scenarios would occur where perf debug might not be able to detect it, or where there might be some inaccuracies, or are you saying that it will work 100% all the time?
So I would not feel comfortable claiming that it works 100% of the time. I think in our particular evaluations, let me just pull up the table. So in our particular evaluation, we were using mutation testing to inject a single input record. In practice, the actual causes of computation skew can vary greatly. So this is one type of potential cause of computation skew. If we were to, for example, try to debug computation skew based on the output records only without looking at the input records, then it may even be difficult to kind of define what is a correct precision or recall to calculate in that case. On the other hand, if you're trying to identify a single expensive input, but in practice there's a vast majority of inputs, then that would inherently, you know, lead to a very low recall.
Oh, great. Yeah. And we'll conclude with, let's thank the speaker again.